Hey, shalom everyone. I'm Amir Tsarfati from Connect here in Galilee in the Jezreel Valley. And once again, we're in one of my favorite shows, Explore the Bible with Dr. Pastor Rick Yon. Shalom, Dr. Yon. How are you?
Shalom, Amir. I'm doing very, very well. And I'm so excited about John chapter 6.
Yes, an exciting passage of scripture. Yeah, you're right. We're back to where we stopped last time. Remember, guys, we're trying on Explore the Bible. We're trying to teach you how to study the Bible, not just to read it, but to literally go much deeper. And before we go into the difference between the two, Pastor Rick, would you do us the honor and start with the prayer?
I'd love to. Lord God, what a privilege you have given us to be able to get into the scriptures for ourselves. We ask that your Holy Spirit will open our eyes and our minds and our ears to hear, to understand, to be able to see things that we haven't seen before. We know that your word is alive. It's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And I pray, Lord, that you would just minister to us this morning and open our eyes to see your truth led by your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, so everyone, shalom again. And I'm so honored to be with Dr. Rick Yon here once again on Explore the Bible. And Pastor Rick, our podcast is called Explore the Bible. But before we begin our study this morning, can you remind us about the difference between exploring the Bible and reading the Bible? I guess it's two different things.
They are two different things, but both of them are important. Many people read the Bible to get familiar with the Bible, and that is important. To go from Genesis to Revelation to just understand the flow of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And also just to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. You want to day after day be reading the Bible. But then the next step is to explore the Bible. And that means asking questions of what you are reading. And also having a pen and a pad that you can start taking notes. And I want to encourage our viewers right now to get out paper and pen and begin writing the notes as we explore the Bible together.
Yes.
And we are in narrative material. And so especially as we look at John chapter 6 and the passage on the feeding of the 5,000, that passage is found in all four Gospels. And so that means we don't just stop with John chapter 6. We have to look at the other three Gospels to get a full picture of what is actually happening. So before we start, let me just give these other passages of Scripture to our viewers so they can turn there. So turn to Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, and Mark chapter 6, verses 32 through 42, and Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17.
Yes.
Because we're going to go back and forth to get the full picture of what's going on here.
Yes. And I just want to remind everyone that we've established over the past few programs that in order to explore the Bible, in order to look deeper into the account, we're actually asking three specific questions. The first one is, what is the story? And then the second question is, what should we look for in the story? And the third is, what is the story behind the story? And we intend to do that today with our portion in John 6, verses 1 through 14. So before we ask them what is the story, I think we should read it, no?
Very, very important to read, so why don't you read it for us?
Okay, I will. So again, as you said, feeding the 5,000. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus, those who were diseased, yes, sorry. And Jesus went up on a mountain, on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." So these are the first 14 verses of John 6. And so what is the story?
You just told us what the story is, but it's more than what you just read. And there, that's why we go to the other gospels. And that's now when we get into what should we look for in this story. And usually we go to the 5 W's, who, what, when, where, and why. But realize you don't have to answer those questions or ask those questions in that order. In fact, as we look at John chapter 6, rather than start with the who, we should start with the, because you have 2 time elements here. It says, after these things, and then in verse 4, now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Mm-hmm. So here are the two time elements. So after these things, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means after chapter 5.
Absolutely.
But if you have a harmony of the Gospels that you can see on blueletterbible.org, that's one way of going about it, or just looking at the references in your Bible that shows you where else this passage of Scripture is found. As you look at that, you start realizing that after these things is actually 6 months after chapter 5. So a lot went on between chapter 5 and chapter 6. And then it says that the Passover was near. So Amir, tell us what month we are talking about right now, and tell us about that Passover, why that is important.
Well, again, first of all, when we talk about Passover, it's normally the springtime, around April. So that's more or less the time of the year. We're talking about a time when families are gathered together around a table to remember the story of the Exodus from Egypt. And that's when we eat unleavened bread. And this is also where, and I think this is where we commemorate literally the story of coming out of slavery into freedom, out of darkness into light, out of land of slavery into the promised land. And so that's the Passover time. And I think it's super symbolic that during that time we have this event taking place.
The fact that you mentioned unleavened bread, chapter 6 focuses on bread. So correct. Keep that in mind as we continue to go through, because when we ask what's the story, there are actually three stories in 6. So we're going to be talking a lot about bread in these three stories. Question is, when did this happen? And to find out really when it happened, let's get over to the Gospel of Matthew. And now we're going to build on what we have just read and what we have just heard. 6 months after chapter 5, and it's somewhere around April when this is taking place. When you look at Matthew chapter 14, we read, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Now, when I first read that, I thought, now, wait a minute, that sounds like a contradiction. We know that Jesus is with his disciples, and here it says he went by himself. But does that really say, I mean, what it says? Because in the Greek, it basically says he went privately. In other words, he went with his disciples privately to another place. So he departed from there by a boat to a deserted place privately. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. So a mirror.
In other words, yeah. So we're talking about, you know, the Sea of Galilee at that time had the Jewish part and the Gentile part. We're talking about cities of the Jews of Capernaum and Bethsaida and Chorazin, and we've got the Decapolis cities on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And it's interesting because the feeding took place almost at the meeting point of both. Up in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, in an area that is known to be flat and private, by the way, flat and private. And so people could come from both sides to that location. And it's very interesting because when we read, it says it was Passover, the holiday of the Jewish people, which means that obviously, if it was only Jews, then why would even, you know, mention the, you know, that it's for a holiday for the Jews? But it appears that everybody came, but it's interesting because this particular thing was more focusing on the Jewish people from the Jewish side, speaking about the Jews, speaking about their holiday, and speaking about eventually 12 baskets that were left with the significance thereof, of, I believe, the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right. Now, when it's saying that they went to the other side, actually from John chapter 6, you wouldn't know where they left from and where they were going. John 6 says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee. Where did he leave and where is he going? That's why you need to look at all four Gospels. Exactly. So we're still answering the when question, when question. And we know it was after these things. We know it was near the Passover. But when you look at Matthew, you find out another fact. Look at chapter 14 and verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. And therefore these powers are at work in him." For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitudes because they counted on him as a prophet. But what happens is that he puts John the Baptist to death.
Yeah.
So, when did this happen? Right after John the Baptist was put to death. But we learn more as to when it happened if you look at the Gospel of Mark. And in Mark chapter 6, and in verse 7, we read, "And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics." When did this happen? Well, he sends out the 12. So they are on a missionary journey. We're not told how long, but it was most likely weeks. And then we are told that they come back from that missionary journey to tell Jesus everything they had done. So these 12 are tired from the missionary journey. John the Baptist has just been beheaded. So Jesus, we are told in verse 30, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while.'"
Mm-hmm.
That's when they went across. They were tired from that journey. John the Baptist had just been beheaded. So he said, "Let's go to a solitary place." This was like going on a retreat. You need to go on a retreat and get some rest. And Amir, you know a lot about that. After all the travels you do, you need a time by yourself. That is the whole purpose. And that is when they went across. But again, where did they go from and where did they go to? That's why we need to turn to the Gospel of Luke.
Correct.
So if you look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 10, we read, "And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida." Now we know where they went from and where they went to. They went exactly. From the west side to the east side. That's why you need the four Gospels to get the full story of what is going on here. So we start with a question of when. Now we can look at the who. And we say, well, that's obvious. It's the disciples and Jesus and the 5,000 men plus women and children, which could be anywhere from 15,000 to 20,000 people there. That's the who. But along with the who are two other people, Philip and Andrew. Why Philip and Andrew?
So that's the why.
Yeah. both of them were from Bethsaida.
Correct.
And so it was very natural for Jesus to go to Philip and say, Philip, where shall we buy bread for these that these may eat? Well, Philip,
you're a local.
Yeah, I know the exact where they can get bread and get some fish and get something. But he says, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, and that everyone may eat a little.
So he knows where to get the bread, but he also knows the price.
He knows the price. So Andrew speaks up and he says, oh, there's a little boy who has some loaves and some fish, but what are these among so many? Little is much when God is in it. Because Jesus then just takes the bread and blesses and feeds this multitude. So now we have the who, we have the when, we have the where, because they're in a deserted, solitary place near Bethsaida. We talked about the what, the story itself.
Mm-hmm. But now we have the why. Why did he ask Philip to feed them when he knew that there's not enough?
And again, because Philip knew exactly where to get the bread, where to get whatever other supplies they needed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So we
touched on what is the story. You read it. What should we look for in the story? And we look carefully, not in this one, but also in the other three Gospels. So what is the story behind the story? That's what we ask now.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, we're talking about bread, correct?
Correct.
We're talking about feeding a multitude.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. So let's turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. And we find another man in the same situation, the who.
Oh, yeah.
In this situation
is Moses.
Moses.
Exactly.
Good old Moses. And we have people who are complaining. They remember what they ate when they were in Egypt. Even though they were slaves, they had food that they just loved. And remember, you have generation after generation there in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And they love the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Boy, that must have smelled good. The onion, the leeks, and the garlic. And they were complaining because they didn't have any meat. And so
these were Moses, Argentinian Jews.
Moses is beside himself. And he's just asking the Lord, where am I going to get food enough for these people? It says in verse 10, and Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused, and Moses was also displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant?
Exactly.
Why have I not found favor in your sight? You should lay the burdens of all these people on me. Did I conceive these people? Did I beget them? That you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I going to get meat to give all these people? Yeah. For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill
please
me here
kill
and
kill
now.
Me here and now.
If I have found favor in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness. Wow.
Yeah. That reminds me of Exodus 33 later on when he said to the Lord, don't forget they're your people, not mine. don't get me stuck here with them.
And he cries out, show me your glory. Show me your
exactly.
glory.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Lord provides not only the manna for them, the bread, but he also provided the meat for them.
The quail.
You see, Moses could not make it happen. So he turns to God and cries out to him. Philip could not make it happen. Andrew could not make it happen.
Yeah.
But there is one in heaven who could make anything like this happen. And God does test us as he tested Philip. In fact, it says that he told Philip or asked Philip, where are we going to get bread to feed these people? It was a test.
Test him. Yeah.
And I believe he was testing Moses at the same time. And we also read in the Psalms. In fact, it's in Psalm 78:24, where it says that God rained down manna from heaven.
Yeah.
For the people.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Deuteronomy 8:3, man does not live by bread alone. And of course, Jesus quoted that when he was tempted by Satan.
Yeah. Amazing.
God, amazing.
I mean, 30 minutes yep. passed away, passed like that. And once again, we explored another amazing story in the Bible. And this time, you use your heavy guns because this time we use all four gospels to get yes. the most accurate answer to all of the questions that we had. And that is exactly what exploring the Bible is versus just reading the Bible. So, Pastor Rick, thank you again for an amazing, amazing program that we had. And I can't wait for our next time when we're going to look into the next part of the same chapter, and this time, Jesus walking on the water. So until then, thank you everyone for watching. Remember, we're here to explore the Bible. We're giving you the tools to do that, the questions to ask, the stories to look for, and even the story behind the story. So thank you, Dr. Rick. Thank you, everyone. Share this video with as many as you can. I think that it's best that people will watch how to read and study the Bible than to watch so much of the garbage that there is nowadays online. Thank you again. God bless you. And shalom from Galilee and from Parker, Colorado.